Hi, I'm Doug Bennett. Welcome to my podcast, Goals Do Come True. In 2004, I wrote 11 goals in a 59p notebook, and it got tucked away in the drawer. When I found it again 5 years later, I found that I'd completed 10 out of 11 of the goals that I'd written down. So I set myself some more challenging goals, and I now find myself in a completely different financial position. So listen in to the secrets of how goals do come true. Hello, everybody. Today, I'm speaking to Mark and Nikki Taylor, who are experts in relationships and behavior and are the only couple in the world together to achieve the prestigious titles of master trainers of both NLP and hypnosis. They've changed thousands of people's lives across all continents using their easy to learn, practical and empowering mindset and behavioral tools. They have a passion for making the difference and assisting everyone, who wants it, that is, and to reaching their full potential and lead meaningful and fulfilling lives through their coaching and training programs. They are creators of NLP Plus and Personal Evolutionary Coaching, and their first book is being published on the 19th of November 2020 with publishers Wiley Capstone. Thank you for joining me today, and we'd like to get started on one of my first questions, my normal questions. Tell me a bit about your story and how goals have formed a part of the process to help you achieve the incredible organization and the work that you have created.
Well, first of all, Doug, thanks for inviting us on. It's great to talk about things we're passionate about.
It is. It's a pleasure to be here.
I mean, our story really together as such starts back in 2006 when we first met on Match.com, would you believe?
Wow.
Crikey.
It does work.
It does work.
Seems to anyway.
Yeah. And we quickly realized that we wanted to create something meaningful and special together. We really enjoyed being with each other. So we thought, why not 25 hours a day, 8 days a week? Let's be, as we say in Birmingham, we want to be together.
And excellent.
So that led us to, first of all, setting up our coaching company to coach individuals, helping them just to change lives on the individual basis, but then also the training company, which is now called the Tailored Life Company, which was quite interesting, really, because we didn't start off with that name. But then all of a sudden we thought, oh, what do we do with people? Oh, we tailor their lives. Oh, what's our surname? Taylor. Crikey.
Wow. And you didn't get to that one a little bit quicker.
No. It took 6 years.
6 years.
Right.
Yeah. We're good at thinking of names.
But so we did. I mean, before we sort of set up what we did a lot of research. We found, you know, that what we believe could give the most sustainable and effective change for people was using tools such as neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, something else called timeline therapy, which is a part of an NLP technique called timelining, and then hypnosis and coaching. A coaching process. And that started us on this journey to be the best that we really possibly could be, I suppose.
Yeah. And you see, the interesting thing for us was, well, I can speak for myself. When we first set out, my intention wasn't really to run a training company. That wasn't my intention. I think Mr. Taylor got a different angle on that, but it wasn't my intention. I just thought it would be extra skills because I worked for the civil service at the time. And so for me, it was just add-on skills, which would just help me to be better and really do maybe some part-time coaching. But then what we realized was that by coaching, we were just working with individuals, whereas by training, then we were actually able to reach a lot more people. It has that kind of
ripple effect.
Yeah, the ripple effect. And so when we first set out, we could have just been any other training company, just another training company, you know. But what we did was we actually set ourselves a goal to be the best in the world. Because Whenever we do something, we do it. We don't even just do it 100%. We do it.
We do it 2,000%.
We do, yeah. Yeah. Sometimes people might say we do it a bit over the top sometimes. But, yeah, we always look to achieve that. So one of the first things that we did was being a trainer of NLP isn't the highest level. It allows you to run trainings, but it doesn't, you're not the top. You're not the very best.
You can't train trainers.
No. So what we did, first of all, was we actually set ourselves a 5-year goal to become master trainers of NLP. Now, you can, with some schools, you can actually go and become a master trainer in 2 weeks. Now, to me, that's almost defeating the object of it, because all you are is you're a master trainer in name only, not through experience and expertise.
I've been on a 6-week course, but it was 2 hours a night, once a week.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, these courses are all out there.
Yes.
You need to do it properly if you're going to do it properly, right?
Yeah. Yeah, ours was a 5-year apprenticeship. I mean, it was a bit tough because we had to, our mentors were based in Las Vegas in America. So for 5-6 years, we had to travel out to Vegas every year.
We did.
That's awful.
Some years we were there for 7 weeks at a time.
Yeah.
Really?
That's awful, isn't it?
But when you talk about goal setting, it's really interesting because to achieve that, we had to set goals, because if not, we wouldn't have created the funds to get out there, the resources, to make it happen year on year. Because when we talk to a lot of people, it's like, how many people actually achieve a 5-year goal?
Yeah.
You know, they set off with a dream or whatever else, but it's very rare that people have a 5-year goal, which they write down. I mean, we did it in 6 because we decided to indulge ourselves over one of the years, but it was six years.
So when we started out with the business, in particular the training business, to begin with, we just thought of it as being a bit of a lifestyle business. Yep. Because, you know, I was still in the civil service. Mark had just retired from the police.
I retired in 2009. I've never worked harder.
No, so you were in the job for 30 years.
29. I left.
29.
That's an interesting thing, because I've always done things differently. And I had 12 months to do, which in terms of pension cost me, well, when I left, it was calculated at 75,000. And it actually turned out to be 129,000 when the figures were done the following year. And I had people saying to me, oh, you're going to lose £75,000. So I said, look, you're getting this wrong, because it's not about the money. For the next 12 months, I said, I've got this thing we're going to do. And it's something I'm passionate about. I've got purpose for. And for the next 12 months, I'm just going to be living the life I want. Whereas you guys will still be sat here thinking, another month's gone by. And I said, you know, and money, you see, and this is the thing about money. Money actually is about setting goals. And money is only about what you're prepared to do for it. It really is. At the end of the day, anyone can earn a decent amount of money. And I said, if I want, I'll earn a lot more than that. I've got no qualms about the money. I said, you know, if someone said to you, I'll give you, you know, you've got, I can give you an extra 12 months to live, would you pay 75 grand for it? Of course you would.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's people that will pay that for a month.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so the thing is, I got total faith in leaving that and excited about what we were going to do next, because it was a no-brainer, because the way we set goals and we do our process, then it just becomes a process you've got to follow to get success.
Yeah, absolutely. So we sort of set off with this lifestyle business in the beginning, and we actually kept the turnover initially under the VAT threshold, and we were just sort of riding under that for probably a couple of years. And then we just realised one day that we felt we actually had a much bigger part to play.
Yep.
And so rather than just limit ourselves, we thought, well, OK, let's just create bigger goals than that. And let's just see, you know, where, you know, this will take us. But one of the things that we realized along the way was that the mindset and processes that you put in place actually need to transition as your goals transition. Because the mindset that we had when we were under the VAT limit, or even probably when we first set out.
Yeah, taking us up to around 80,000 turnover.
Is then a different mindset and different processes that you need in place when you then start earning 6 figures.
Yes. Yes, and that, it is interesting what the barriers and the belief systems put in place for ourselves, and they talk about self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
Yes.
But having a barrier of 80K,
yeah.
Yes.
You know, when you're an entrepreneur, when you've got goals, when you're excited and passionate about what it is that you want to do, actually, it won't take you too long to get to that figure.
No. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And you just got to burst through it, really, and just take on the little bit of admin that's involved. Well, subcontract that out, really. Let somebody else do the VAT calculations for you anyway.
But we then, in that next 12 months, we leapt from 80 to probably 170, 180. You know, we more than doubled it, which was interesting. But then we realised the mindset that got us there weren't going to really take us into the multiple six figures. With six-figure profits. And so that was interesting again, because and now we're going through another mind shift, because we're now evolving the Tailored Life Company again because of the book coming out and because of exciting things we've got planned for that. We've got a new coaching course coming out in the new year. And so, but the interesting thing as well, we've gone back to the future because there's just the two of us again. We used to employ people and we had a number of times where we've done different things. But what you have to realize sooner or later, especially with goals, is you've got to have that flexibility. If it's not working, you've got to go, well, enough's enough.
Yeah, let's change it.
Yeah. We have a saying, you always know what you need to know before you need to know it.
That's an interesting comp. Yeah.
You always know what you need to know before you need to know it. You do. Because your little voice inside goes, it ain't right. This isn't there something not right here.
Yeah. But we tend to ignore that voice.
And you always know before you need to know it.
And then on reflection, you think, well, yeah, I did think that at the time. But you, for whatever reason, we tend to push those things to one side and just keep ploughing on. But, it's an interesting process because, yes, you have got that belief system there. But also, I think the point that Mark's making there is that when you get to a certain point, it's almost like the things, and you're ready for transition, you're ready for change, the things that were working no longer work anymore.
No. You're shedding that skin.
Yeah. And yes. So things.
I like that one. I like that analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And things become maybe you can't even put your finger on what it is, but you just know that what was working isn't working. And when you're moving into that next level, that next layer almost, there can be a time where it can be really quite uncomfortable. And it's very, I say sometimes it's like being inside a snow globe that's been shaking up.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the things around you that were there, that security and those things that were working just are not there. And you almost have to just trust and just put the right steps in place to keep you moving forward, knowing that at some point it will all settle back down again. Because all you're doing in effect is you're just creating new strategies that you didn't have before.
Bigger ones.
Yeah. Well, you've got to grow into being the person who deserves that next goal. You've got to, because you can't stay the same person and achieve the goal. That's impossible.
Absolutely right. And one of my friends, I got her to rewrite her goals in this the present tense, because I always write them as if you've achieved.
Yes, as if.
And she said, "Oh, well, that's an interesting concept." She said, "Because now I can see that I need to grow to get to that position." Oh, and it's like, but now you write your goals down, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
well, ordinarily you'd write them down, right, Mark?
At the moment, yes, he looks.
Yeah.
Just for the podcast.
With my right hand all bandaged up. Yeah. With my left hand, you wouldn't be able to tell what they are. They look like a doctor's goals at the moment.
And even Mr. Taylor wouldn't be able to read them.
I think it's an interesting thing because there's a lot of emphasis placed on writing goals. Now, we actually have come up with our own approach to the whole goal, and we write everything down. But we start from a position of that, first of all, before you write any goals, you need to sort your own stuff out.
Yes.
Because the issue is, if you haven't got tools, techniques to be able to deal with your negative emotions, anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, your self-limiting beliefs, your inner conflicts, the little voices that are at odds with it, what will happen is when you write a goal, you're going to come across all the things you've always come across before, whenever you've tried a goal or similar. So before we even get anywhere near writing goals, we clean up our stuff. NLP, timeline therapy, hypnosis. Nikki and I disappear once a year for at least a week or 2 weeks, and it depends where it is. This year it's been Wales. Last year it was Spain. And what we do is we start from looking at all areas of our life.
Yep.
Because your goals in one area of life will affect your goals in another. And if you don't do that, we've seen people wreck their lives.
So yes, we're almost talking about ecology here. Because that's one of the reasons why a lot of people's goals don't work, because they set them in isolation. They don't think about the bigger picture and how it all fits together.
I mean, what we say at our trainings is, right, we'll say to people, right, who here has got a child? And they'll, like, you know, put their hands up and go, right. So when you had that little bundle of joy, which areas of your life did it affect? You know, other than family, did it affect your health and fitness? Did it affect your relationship with your partner? Did it affect your career? Did it? And they're going, oh, yeah, affected them all. So, right, how many goals did you have in place to maintain those areas of your life? And they didn't.
None.
No,
nobody would have them.
No,
nobody,
and that's why they're not living a life by design. They're living a life by chance. Because then, you know, because we all know, as soon as you have children, you never have a hot meal with your partner for at least 3 years together, you know, and forget sex and, you know, exercising and all that type of stuff. It's all out the window because this little thing takes over from everything. But that's exactly the same if you choose to do something in your career or if you choose to do something else. The time has to be taken from somewhere else.
Yes.
So our first process is before we write anything down, we'll go through this process of assessing the areas that are currently important in our life. So because they change.
Yes.
It may be 1 year the business is more important, let's say, than our health, let's say. But what we'll do is put goals in place to maintain our health at the current level, because that keeps it conscious, that keeps it in mind, it stops us wrecking our lives. And too many people don't do this approach where they do this ecological approach, because you see what we call it? We call it living a tailored life.
I see what you did there. It's incredible.
I'm here all week.
Available for bar mitzvahs and, you know,
yeah,
family parties.
Yeah, absolutely. In a very socially distanced sort of way.
Yes, absolutely.
But as our lives change, our focus changes. Our goals then have to appreciate that. So we need to, when we talk about consciousness, that's what we mean, living a conscious life.
It's almost like keeping everything aware, you know, having that awareness of what's going on in all areas of our lives. Because for us, I would say that the goals really are only part of the process, because alignment's also really important. Because just setting a goal, if it's just a goal and it is in isolation, then you're not always sure you're going to get that for a number of reasons. And so when we're setting goals, the first thing that we look at is our purpose.
We have a written purpose statement. What's our purpose in life? What gives our life meaning for us?
And it's just a very short thing, because often people will write a purpose, but they'll write it in a very convoluted way. There'll be lots of examples of how they're achieving that. For us, it's very high level. It's really for us about making the difference and assisting people to achieve their full potential. So any goal that we set then must achieve that purpose
and align with that.
Yes, exactly, absolutely. And then going on from that, once we've got the purpose, then we need to make sure that us as people, our identity actually fulfills that purpose. So who we see ourselves as being, as
an
individual,
what we say on our website we are,
that must all match the purpose. That's all part of the alignment process. And then when you get below that, there's the beliefs and values that we hold. And we touched upon beliefs a little bit earlier about self-limiting beliefs, because whatever you believe and the values are things that are important to you in life. Your values are your natural drivers. They're your unconscious drivers. And so if your values are not aligned with the identity that you hold and your purpose, then anything that you set in terms of goals or outcomes, it's going to be incongruent. It's not.
Yeah, it's going to be conflicted. You're going to be conflicted in that respect. I've also found that, you know, if you're sort of straightforward and congruent and all the rest of it, life's easy. You don't have to think too hard about things, do you?
No, it's true. And those things then, that's what carries you through. Because if you run any business, there will be the jobs that you really enjoy doing, the parts of it that you love doing, which is really easy. And then there will be other parts of it which perhaps need a little bit more focus and a little bit more, I suppose you have to talk yourself into it a little bit more.
Keep doing the cash flow forecasts and the budgeting.
Yeah. So the stuff that you're not so keen on, if you are living your purpose and your goals are aligned with that, then you will do that because it's part of it.
Yes, yes. You know, you'll adjust your skill set to be able to achieve those. Well,
that's the next level down as such, because under your beliefs and values, we look to align our skills and our competence level. Then below that, our behaviour. How do we behave? Because we see lots of coaches who, it's quite funny, really. You'll see them on the internet. I'm an emotional mastery coach. And then they have a meltdown on Facebook. And you know, and their behaviour's totally misaligned with who they say they are.
Yeah.
And then environment as well, because it's like the old adage where organizations say our values are our staff are our greatest asset, and then they give them a really awful place to work in and don't give them the tools to do the job. So we believe in our life and in our business that all of those things need to be aligned. So yes, our goals then fit within that.
Yeah.
So before we get anywhere near, and it's a long-winded answer to your question, but before we get near actually writing the goals, we've written all this stuff down first. We've written down and we've considered, when we then write the goal, how does the goal fit into all of those things? Where does it fit? Where's the driver for it? Because we've got a mnemonic, haven't we? Our own mnemonic for goals, which is based on SMART, like, you know, everyone else, we all know SMART. Specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timed is the normal SMART ones. But we've got smartest goals.
Smartest.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the EST that we think where a lot of people miss out.
So the E for us is about the emotional driver. There has to be a positive emotion that actually drives the goal in the first place. You know, you've got to have a 10 out of 10 or more, 100 out of 10,
yeah,
in order for the to want to do the goal. Because if you don't, if you've not got that positive emotional driver, it's just not going to happen.
Well, the first obstacle that kicks in the way, it's like, oh, I knew I couldn't do this anyway. So,
And that goes hand in hand with the adage that a lot of people will go, oh, I've given it everything I've got. You know, I can't do any more. And I go, well, that's where you're wrong, because you've got to do what it takes. It's not about giving it all you've got, you know, because sometimes it requires more than that. So you've actually got to do what it takes. And if you haven't got that emotional driver, you won't do what it takes.
And you've got to have a sense of achievement as well. You know, something that you're going to really want to achieve. And so, you know, with the we were speaking a little earlier about the book, and we'll come on to that in a moment. But, you know, for us, that sense of achievement is what's driven us forward with some of the goals that we've had probably in the last 5 years.
It's like the X factor, but it's called the yes factor. Because yes, when you get it, you're going to go, yes. like when we got a master trainer NLP, we were like, yes, this is it. And it, I mean, like, and as an aside, I actually was the strongest link back in the Chris program, the weakest link. I won the weakest link a number of years ago, which I actually planned all out to win, which was interesting, and used NLP and whatever for it. But that was a real yes factor when Anne Robinson looked at me and went, Mark, you are the strongest link, the rest leaving nothing. It was yes. So it's the yes factor for your goals.
Yep. And yes, as we said, it needs to fit into with your true purpose in life.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't, you know, that's when things are really hard work. You know,
you've only got to look at people like Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, in the fact that you need to have that purpose, that sense of purpose that's going to carry you past anything else, because that's what kept him alive, basically.
So we've got emotional driver, a sense of achievement, and a true purpose.
Absolutely.
And we add that on to the SMART acronym,
yeah,
which I talk about in my book, As It Happens.
Brilliant.
Oh, that's yes. Good. We're on the same page then.
We are indeed. Why we're talking, I think.
Yes, I think so too. So, and as we said a little earlier, for us as well, it's also about cleaning up your stuff.
Yes.
That gets in the way. Because if you don't do that, then you literally will just keep coming up against the same obstacles that have caused you problems in the past. You know, so we're very much about having that, we call it a mental spring clean, don't we?
Mental spring clean.
So that you clear up all that stuff so that actually you can see your goals and your outcomes, and then you can start to move forward to achieving.
You take your car for a service every year. Why don't you take your brain for a service every year?
Sounds like a very, very good plan. And so it's a week or 2 weeks, you said. You know, this year Wales, last year Spain. Yeah. So what do you do to clean your brain? It's not on the list of questions, so you know. What do you do?
We can ad lib.
So what we do is we go through the process we outlined at the beginning, where we look round the areas of our life which are important to us. We score those out of 10, where we think they currently are, and then 10 being the best, and then what would make it a 10 for the next 12 months. We also look at how important each area is and how much time we're currently spending on those, because often you can find it goes unconscious. You actually spend more time in an area than it deserves.
Right. Yeah,
and so we'll go through that, and we will look then to see what as a result of that, and we'll also look back on the previous year goals to see what we've achieved and did we change things and why, and what have we learnt from those. But when we're doing that process, we're looking for what negative emotions come up as a result of that, you know, and also what limiting beliefs come up and what conflicts. Now, then we use tools from neuro-linguistic programming. So we'll use whatever NLP techniques. We'll use tools from timeline therapy, because that's the quickest and most effective tool for letting go of limiting beliefs and also negative emotions.
Right.
So we use those to clean up and let go of what we call gestalts of emotion. So it's a buildup as such of emotion, which is trapped on certain events. And then if relevant, we'll use hypnosis,
mm-hmm.
if relevant, because we're master trainers of hypnosis as well. So we
hypnotize each other.
Absolutely.
You must have the most perfect life then, really, surely.
We have a very good life.
The thing is,
we've got a tool to sort everything out. And don't get us wrong, we're not perfect.
Yeah.
Because life happens to us all.
Yes.
And this is the thing about shedding skin. If you're looking like we are to consistently evolve yourself, and be the best version of you, and to make yourself better, which will in turn help your clients, our graduates more, and help achieve the goals, the big goals that we've got of change throughout the planet, then you've got to have this constant evolution of cleaning up, setting goals, doing things to keep moving forward. But we're not perfect.
No.
Life happens to us like anyone else.
No, absolutely. It happens to us all.
Well, it comes at us now a little bit quicker than it used to. So stuff hits us quicker. May hit us a little bit harder, but we can clear it quicker,
mm-hmm.
because of the tools and techniques, our expertise over the last decade. So, yeah, but writing goals down, you asked about. Yeah, we do. But before we do that, we actually put them in our future.
Yeah.
So we'll write them down. That's only part of it. So we'll write the goal, and we do them exactly like you're saying, as if now. So it is now. Whatever today's date is, let's say we set a goal for the end of the year, 31st December 2020, and we write them I do have. So I am a practitioner of NLP. And then we write a sensory description of what that looks like. So when we have it, what will we see? What will we hear? What will we feel? What will we say to ourselves? What will we smell? What will we taste, if that's relevant?
We also make sure that the picture that we create is real, in terms of, because it is a made up picture at that point. But what we do is we change the components of that picture so that the sounds are as real as they can be, the picture's as vivid as it can be, because that's what makes it compelling. That's what makes it really exciting, because sometimes what can happen is people can visualize, but they will potentially have a very fuzzy picture, or it might be a long way away from them, and it might not be as clear as it could be.
Yep.
And it may be the colour's not particularly bright. And that's typical of a goal that hasn't, you actually don't know what it necessarily looks like at that point. And so therefore that's less compelling. It's less motivating, because in your mind, the interpretation of that goal then is that it isn't very motivating. It's not exciting. So by changing the structure of the image itself, you can actually make it more exciting, make it more compelling. And then because you are putting that in your future, then your unconscious mind then wants to achieve it.
And if it is fuzzy and it doesn't clear, then there could be something, it could be a pointer that there's something missing out of the goal.
Yeah, it's not quite right.
Yeah.
Not quite right.
And that's why we say to people, please don't put goals in your future unless you are 110% sure that, like, you are certain you're going to achieve them. It's really compelling. It's exciting. You know, all of those things we've spoken about, because you're just dooming yourself to failure and disappointment.
Yeah.
That's why New Year's resolutions don't work.
No.
They're not done in conjunction with your whole life and looking at your whole life. They're just plonked in there and without any thought about, well, how will I actually achieve it? Because what a lot of people call goals as such, we call outcomes. So our biggest goals, we call them outcomes.
Okay.
Because
swap goals for outcomes. Yep.
Well, that we call goals the things that get the outcome. Because often your biggest goals are outside of your control to achieve them. You know, it's not totally within your control. So for instance, one of our biggest goals, which is for the business, is to actually create Europe's largest self-empowered community through training and coaching using modern mindset techniques. That's a pretty decent goal.
One of my questions is big, hairy, audacious goals, and that sounds like you've just nailed it, really.
You know, it's one of those things which a lot of that stuff's outside of our control because, you know, who could have said what, you know, predicted what was going to happen this year?
Yeah.
Which could totally skew your goal. And so with those, their outcomes, what then sits below those are lots of goals which take us along that path. Because too many people set these big goals, which are dreams in some respects, and that outcome is there to set the aim and the direction of where we wish to travel. But we're now on a journey. And so the goals are the fuel for the journey.
To keep you going.
To get that big outcome at the end. And it may end up, actually, you don't want that outcome in the end. You change the outcome. It may be because you've got to have that flexibility.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, for the big goals that we sort of set ourselves, the big outcomes that we set ourselves a number of years ago, one of them was to become master trainers of NLP and then separately master trainers of hypnosis. Now, we had the goal to be the first couple in the world to actually achieve both of those qualifications together. That was our goal. And we did actually achieve that. So we are the first and currently the only couple in the world to have achieved both of those qualifications. So we achieved that goal. I think that was a pretty big goal.
That's a big one. That's a big one. Well, look, if you're the only couple in the world, right, that's got to be like the biggest goal, isn't it? You know, I mean, it's just massive, really.
And 7 years.
Yeah, 7 years it took us. But we were very focused, and you know, and of course, going out to Vegas every year, that was a bit of a that was something which was a nice thing. And this is what we're saying about it: it has to be something enjoyable. It has to be something that you want to do and give you positive emotion. Because if we hadn't had that, if we were going somewhere which was somewhere we didn't want to be and doing something we didn't want to do, we would never have achieved it.
No.
And the book as well. I mean, the book has been a big goal because the book as such, we've written with a guy called Ed James. Ed's a lovely guy. He's a radio broadcaster by trade, and he also owns a branding, an all-service agency for content and marketing and branding called HDY in Birmingham. And he's one of our graduates, one of our master practitioners. And Ed was on our training and he said, oh, I've had this idea, which I think can make a great book. Started it once. And then we had another conversation a few years later. And we said, well, we've had similar thoughts to yours. And the book's called Be More Kid.
Be More Kid.
Be yes. More Kid. And what the essence of the book is, right, and we're spinning a lot of the current personal development memes on the head, because most personal development books say you've got to become a new person and
it's all about positive thinking.
It's all about just positive thinking or whatever else. We say, no, what this is about is actually you've got all the resources. Think about the things you did as a child, like learning for walk, for instance, right? Learning to walk. Now, if you watch a child learning to walk when they first, well, from getting off their back and getting over to crawling, first of all, and then from crawling to standing, then from standing to walking, it's a tough old job.
Yep.
And how many times do they fall over? How many times do they get frustrated and angry?
Really hurt themselves sometimes? Yeah.
Now, but they do it. Now, the point of that is, I think most adults today, if they had to learn to walk as an adult, they wouldn't walk, they'd probably crawl. Because they say, it's too hard. It's too hard, I keep falling over.
It's not going to happen, I can't do it.
Mm. You know, and that's where goals are your driver. That's why we say about the smartest, because if you've got that emotion, you've got that purpose, that's what, you look at a child, that's what they're driven by. It's going to happen. I'm going to walk. I want to walk because I want to walk around and trash your living room for you and make it so you've got to put everything 6 foot off the floor. So they're driven by this purpose of the task. Not that they know that at that time. And that's what some of the essence of our book is, Be More Kid. It's about all those resources, you know? We've got a whole philosophy, this notion of kids are playful. You know, they play without fear. They, you know, totally fearless and just enjoy it. You know, they turn the simplest things into fun, which is fantastic. They've got their present. They're actually not worried about what's going to happen next week or whatever. They're in that moment. They enjoy that moment. They get the most from that moment. And as you say, there's a purpose to what they do. There's always this notion of, this is what I'm going to get at the end of this, which is true to them, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yeah. And then kids do stuff with passion. And that's what a lot of people lack, is passion. You know, it's
bang on there. I agree. Totally, totally, totally. So we've got Be More Kid, and it's coming. And it's coming.
It is 19th
of November.
So by the time you're listening to this, I think it will probably be already out there.
Amazon's, Waterstones.
Yeah, but it's interesting in terms of, you know, a big goal. As Mark was saying, the big goal for us was 3 years ago. Was writing the book. You know, and when I created the picture, that image we were talking about. And I made it compelling. The thing that I had in my mind, in my mind's eye, was a picture of actually seeing the book in a shop, for sale in the shops. And it's so interesting because we had a call this morning with the publisher, and the publisher actually said, "Oh yes, it's going to be in the shops on the 19th of November." And I actually felt my stomach flip because it's been such an exciting, such a motivating goal. And to actually hear that it's about to actually be
physically going to be there.
Yeah, it's like, wow, you know, because that's what I saw, you know, in my mind's eye. And that's what's carried us through all this time. Because you know yourself, Doug, that there's a lot of work that goes behind writing a book. You know, there's lots of parts to it. And you've really got to be very dedicated. And
you've got to have goals. Because that's what we did when we're looking along the way. We put goals in place. So which when we put the goals in place, and as I say, the big outcome is the book and the book being published as well, because we always had this notion that we would get a publisher. And so it was then the goals underneath that got the bigger outcome. And so one of the goals that throughout then looking at resources, and as you know, George Kirk from Right Business Results, we took George on as a book coach. We always believe in utilization of building your own team and resources for whatever the goal is you want.
And so, and go to the best people.
So Georgia became part of team Be More Kid. And now we've got Wiley on board. They're part of team Be More Kid. And we've just taken on a PR person. But these are all part of goals. And they've got their own individual goals within that to realize certain parts of the bigger outcome.
Well, it's a big goal. It's an exciting goal. It's coming any minute. We're going to do our little bit to be part of team Be More Kid. We'll make sure that the details are below the podcast.
Brilliant.
And there, you know, we'll make sure that there's access information so that, you know, people can pop to your website, be a couple of emails so people can get in touch, because obviously there's lots of stuff you do, right? So you've got a couple of seconds, because we're going to have to call it a day, but you've got a couple of seconds to fill your boots on a little bit of self-promotion. What do you guys do? Quick as you can. Go for it. Who wants to take that mantle?
I'll take Be More Kid first. Be More, buy the book, because you'll find this isn't a self-development book, which is just about what and why. This is a book that's got real tips, real strategies, life-changing stuff within Be More Kid. And we've got a goal to sell 100,000 copies, which will make a massive difference to our bigger goal of the biggest self-empowered community in Europe. So Be More Kid.
And on the flip side of that, as you know, we run training courses. We help people on an individual basis through coaching. And so if people do have obstacles that they feel are getting in the way, or they want to be able to coach other people, then please get in touch and let's have a chat, because we'll see how we can help.
Because we've now got, we're actually changing the face of coaching. So people who want to be coaches, personal evolutionary coaching is the way ahead, because that allows you to coach anyone for anything. The days are gone of a distinction between coach, therapist, trainer, consultant, mentor, whatever. The modern coach needs modern techniques to deal with the 2020s. And so that's what we've created. And that is exciting, because that's coming next year.
Perfect. On that note, all I can say is, look, very, very best of skill. Yep. No luck involved.
Yep. Agree.
Best of skill with the new book. Best of skill with the coaching program coming out in the new year. We'll make sure that your details are contained in the show notes so people can get hold of you. I'm going to have a look myself, because I maybe need to brush up on my NLP a little bit. And obviously, I'm a bit of a coach as well. But there we go. So it's always things you can learn.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think the biggest thing is set goals, because what happens with goals, Doug?
They do come true.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much, Mark and Nicky. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to review and subscribe on Apple, Google or Spotify. I'd love to hear about your goals. You can share them with me at dougbennett.co.uk.